We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Ah, one down. On to the next one. Obviously, you want to come out hard and win the first game. Didn't win today, but on to the next one.
It's a situation just giving him too many good chances.
It's hockey. It happens. I try to be there and stop him. Too bad I didn't on a couple occasions there.
Are they more physical than you guys had seen in the past?
I don't know. I think you expect everybody to be physical. It's the playoffs. You know, I don't know. I'm sure they were heading. I didn't really pay attention. So tough to say.
So he's one of those lightning rods, is he not? Tuukka Rask.
Every goalie is.
Okay, so he didn't play well last night. Nobody played well last night, but he wasn't the big reason that they
lost. Wasn't his fault.
No. So, but that's what people are doing today, and I've heard people comment on his comments after the game, like he doesn't care.
Yeah.
It's no big deal. It's game one. It's game one of a seven-game series in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Losing on the road in game one means nothing, nada. It really doesn't. Well, now, you want to talk about the NBA? We can talk about that. That's a different story.
Yeah, it is.
But the NHL, so last year they beat Tampa Bay in the first game 5-1. Was that the score? 4-1, 5-1?
Yeah, something like that.
Okay. And what happened the rest of the series? They got smoked.
They got voted. Yeah.
They won game one and got smoked. It doesn't mean anything.
I heard the same thing that you heard, you know, people dissecting his comments like he doesn't care and like, oh, la-di-da, what's the big deal? I would say in a position like that where you're constant, it seems like a real stressful job. As far as, you know, I can equate it to being a quarterback on an island or even a quarterback where so much responsibility and so much of the stuff that you do has an impact on whether you win or lose. And I would say, and I was teasing a little bit, but, you know, the fact that Tim Thomas is so beloved is that in those situations, he made that unbelievable play. So if the rest of the team was playing flat and they didn't have their legs and then maybe they were just turning it over and all these turnovers led to goals, then he bailed them out. So, yes, you would like to have him actually stop a couple breakaways. You would like him to, but you understand if he can't.
Well, and my only thing is, when you watch, you sit there and say, that's a bad goal. You know, maybe he got it through his, under his arm or something. I got a clean look at this shot, and he still couldn't get it. But, honestly, those two breakaways, would I have liked? Of course, who wouldn't have liked him to stop him? You know, but the penalty shot, again, he Marner got so close to him, I thought he could have poked it with his stick. But in that first goal, I mean, it was tipped a couple of times, slid past him to the right. He turned around, but the thing hit the post and went the other way. I don't blame him on those things.
Yeah, I don't know about you, but
you know, but the goalie, you compare him to like a corner. I would compare him to a successful field goal kicker.
Okay.
Who all misses right. a field goal, lose a game, you go, what is he going to do?
Move on.
All I can do is, or a successful closer in baseball.
But, okay,
like, what am I, okay, so what can I do right now? So, we lost. I'm that last guy, last line of defense. I get it.
Have a short
okay,
memory.
So back to my point. So, I mean, I get as far as the pressure that comes with the position, you got one job. Okay, we're not asking you to tackle anybody. We're not actually catching any passes. You just sit there and you keep warm. When we call you, we want you to make the kick. It's a 35-yarder. Can you do that for us? Shanks it. Who gets all the blame? Even though you could actually, if you're the kicker, you could say, well, hell, you guys couldn't finish any drives, and I'm sitting here left again to pick up the pieces and finish what you couldn't do. So you're critical of a field goal kicker. You would be critical of a closer if he gave up the game. It really just kind of comes with the territory.
See, position. I think it's more fair criticism of Cassidy, not moving Bergeron's line around. You know, he's up against Tavares. They're sort of stifling him. You're not getting much. That line last year against Toronto, remember the first round? I think it was 32 points. They destroyed them, right? So, of course, Tavares is in there. And so now things change. It's the strength of Toronto, the depth of their forwards, the three centermen down the middle. But still, it's like you're at home.
Well,
you can match the lines. You know, on the road, guess what?
Right.
Toronto, Tavares is going to be out there against Bergeron.
Right.
But you're at home, and it's not working. Now, this is a guy that we've seen him many times. If it's not working, he's messing with lines left and right throughout the game. He didn't do any of that. Any of that.
Yeah, I think that's a legitimate criticism. You can't get carried away. about the first game. The one thing I would say in the first game, and you could criticize Cassidy for this as well as what you just did, and that is, why aren't they ready to play? They didn't seem like they were ready to play. Now, it could be that Babcock had his team flying high because he kept on saying to him, how many times are you going to lose to this team? Okay, how many times are you going to lose?
Six straight series?
Yeah, and he got maybe into Matthew's head. Tavares is with us now. We got somebody who can help us out because they came out flying last night. They really did, and they're a quick team to begin with.
I think a lot of it had to do with just the Bruins themselves. They played like dog ass. I mean, they really did.
But how do you do that in the first game of a series, though?
No, especially I'm just saying after Tampa lost and all the other teams lost.
There is some inexperience on that team. I mean, again, it was... I mean, let's even before the game, Brick and everybody talking about, they used that term, puck management.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, that was just glaring. I mean, they got the puck in their own zone. They can't clear it. I mean, that first goal was because my boy, a Fryer, Noel Chari, turned over in a neutral zone. Tavares comes, shoots it. Now there's a faceoff. Right? So, but it was a turnover. Carlo early on was an absolute mess. Like, they could, I think it was Krejci, an awful turnover right in front of the net that Tuukka took care of. But still, all night long, they weren't taking care of the puck in their own zone. They couldn't get it out. They couldn't get anything going.
Are you going?
Turnovers everywhere.
Well, going into that series, you look at it and say, what's the weak point of Toronto? It's their defense. And yet last night, the Bruins' defense was awful and Toronto's was damn good.
Well, because that's what I'm saying. It started defensively. They couldn't get the puck up.
Right,
consistently, icings everywhere. They couldn't do it.
Well, faceoffs last night too, and Bergeron usually is the best at that. And Tavares was great at it, and he got tossed out. Bergeron did numerous times, but I don't. It's game one. It's the NHL. You just mentioned it. Tampa Bay. We talked about them. They're the Golden State Warriors of the NHL this year. Well, what happened to them?
I mean,
game one at home against Columbus.
Even in that game, there was a little bit of. I mean, the fact that, you know, people were, you know, clearing out of the stadium and just going home, even though there was about 4 minutes left, and I still thought there was still a chance that they could at least tie it or make, you know, Toronto real nervous. That to me was surprising because everyone talks about what a unique hockey town it is here, and like, you know, they're just diehards. Everybody's leaving.
Goodbye!
So
we'll criticize baseball.
Yep.
Because they left in the sixth on opening day. But
oh, here we go.
They're leaving a Bruins game, and it's still alive and well.
I'm criticizing them. I'm saying they need to stay.
Yeah, I'm just checking. So be consistent. That's all.
And it's usually 72 degrees unless you're close to the ice. Maybe drops into the 60s, right?
So weather's not an
excuse. Very comfortable. Nope.
What's your excuse?
Yep.
Is this the first baseball show of the year, Lou?
I should probably drink during the games.
There you go.
I wonder if that.
I thought you did.
Do you do that?
Yes.
No, I don't. I only drink. I'm a big Friday night drinker.
When I'm settled in,
I swear to God,
yes.
I swear to God, listening to them last night, they were giddy. The crown was being passed around that that studio last night.
I actually believe that.
Oh my God,
I do believe that.
Did you ever hear? Like I said, I think I said this to you earlier. I don't think I've ever heard Lou more giddy.
So happy.
Yes. Oh yeah, I remember. It's almost like he was away from us for a few hours.
Well, yes, last night.
Had some new partners. Yeah,
it was fun.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
I had a good time. And I tell you what, the crowd was actually into it last night.
Really?
It really was.
Well, they had something to cheer about.
Well, you know, game two. You know, I mean, who goes to game two of the season?
Yeah,
no. Not the home opener, right? Opener is corporate seats. Guess who goes game two? I don't know. But it seemed like it was packed to me. But they were into it late because it's the fans. It was like real fans. They go to game two. They don't go to home opener.
So you leaving early?
In game one.
You got to leave early tonight, right? Today, right?
I'm here in Brighton. Joey told me I have no problem at all getting to Fenway. I was like,
are you going to ride a bike?
Maybe about 5 minutes. I don't know. It's only Friday night.
We'll give you last call off.
Well, you know, like around Fenway Park, around like 6:30, it's usually not a problem in game day.
No, no traffic whatsoever. Parking lot that you got to get into, it's easily located right off the highway.
You might hear from me in about the third inning. But
you're
going
to have to park your car and then just leave it there. And just say, it's like, you know, you take it.
It's like falling
down. I don't care. And then sprint.
So it's
I asked him something about, like, is it okay to have dinner? And he said, no, you got to get to work. I said, oh, okay, no big deal. You know, 2 to 11.
No sustenance? How do you survive? You fall apart in the fifth inning, right?
That would be good.
You can go eat one of those sandwiches in that fridge.
Oh, beautiful.
How does Joey not know? How does Joey not know how the world operates? It's Friday. There's more traffic on Friday, right?
He says he does it all the time.
What's he talking about? What is he got, like a helicopter?
I'm your host, Lou Maloney.
Does he have somebody who drives?
Yeah, I think so.
I think Curtis still has a driver, doesn't he? I think he has a... I thought he had a driver somewhere around here. Hey, by the way, in the 5 o'clock hour today...
Oh, please.
Ooh, what are we giving away?
We are giving away two tickets to see the Celtics take on the Indiana Pacers on game one of the first round of the playoffs.
Oh, my gosh.
You're the biggest bitch already about the...
The biggest bitch about the Celtics
I know who
game.
That is.
1 o'clock, Sunday afternoon. We have to play at 1 o'clock.
Wait, what's this?
They're bitching already. They're hearing some people around the Celtics, the Green Teamers. They, you know, why do we get stuck playing?
I love that 1 o'clock
because
game.
The players complain all the time.
Why?
Apparently, Marcus Morris...
Was this Adrian Gonzalez?
Marcus Morris apparently isn't awake by that time or something like that. He's
get
been
off
complaining
Fortnite,
in the
go
past.
To bed.
1 o'clock game.
Oh, I would love a 1 o'clock
why
game.
Why do we get stuck with a 1 o'clock
so
game?
So are we going to rip them like we rip Adrian Gonzalez, like a baseball player, for bitching about time?
Oh, will you stop it with the defense?
Oh,
no, I just try to be consistent.
But 4 more hours after you fight through traffic, it'll be you, Sean, and
tune
and
in at 8 o'clock. You can talk all the first time. You
want. Team better than anyone.
Have a field day.
Something to be said about consistency.
Yeah. All right. 5 o'clock, we will give away, in the 5 o'clock hour, we will give away a pair of tickets to the Celtics game on Sunday afternoon.
Hey,
it's a 1 o'clock game.
I think I'm liking this XFL. I think I'm going to like the XFL.
Okay, it's got no chance.
I think it does.
They're trying. I'll give them credit. They're trying.
Yeah, they're
trying.
No, they're doing it right.
Right. Players coming down from trampolines in the middle of the game.
It's that's like Ninja Warrior football.
All right, we're going to get into it and more. And what are the Patriots going to do without Chris Hogan? We'll get to all of that coming up next right here on OMF.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
OMF. We return to more of Ordway, Marloney, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
Our approach to presenting games will be multi-platform, which will allow us to engage fans and customize the viewing experience in ways that were never imaginable just a few years ago. You'll be able to watch the XFL on big screens, mobile devices, and everything in between. Thank you again for joining us. We appreciate your interest, and if you have any ideas, please send them along our way because we are listening. The new XFL will be a game that's reimagined. Reimagine the game of professional football. I'm sure you want to get to some questions, so fire away.
All right, Vince, good luck with everything, really. Good luck with it all. So the AAF is gone. It's a history, and I'm sorry. I'm not going to fall for this one, all right? I'm not going to fall for it. The XFL's going to have the same fate. But
they fold after 8 games?
Probably, yeah.
XFL, they made it through a season.
They did. And do you really believe? Now, they're toying with ideas of coming up with stuff. The commissioner is Oliver Luck, who is Andrew's dad.
Yeah.
Okay. And apparently, they're coming up with some new rules where they're going to make it legal to throw a forward pass multiple times. Why don't they just play volleyball?
Well, hold on. Let's start with this. So he was on a Florio show, and the first question was, if you want to hear all the different ways they want to reimagine the XFL.
Yeah, reimagine.
So they asked him, how would the XFL be different than the AAF?
We'll be working with a 30-second play clock in tune with kind of keeping up with that up-tempo, fast-paced game. I think our games will look a little bit more like some of the college hurry-up, you know, offenses with, you know, the requisite number of plays. We have a different kickoff, and I'm excited about that because, you know, I'm a traditionalist to a certain degree, and I've been saddened, you know, as I've watched football both at the professional and college level with the fact that the kickoff return, nobody really cares about the kickoff. They care about the return. That's the fun part of that play. So we want to keep the kickoff return in the game, as I like to say. We want to keep the foot in football, so we've got a different kickoff that will be we are testing it right now, in fact, down at the Spring League. We've got a different overtime rule that I think, you know, the guys down at the Spring League are testing that as well, or at least they did this past Saturday, and they'll test it again this Thursday when they play a couple of games. And our broadcast partners are very excited about that. We're really focused on getting a game, even with overtime, done under 3 hours.
Here's the thing. So if they're obviously the AAF,
not buying any of this.
No,
stuff,
no, no. Right?
No, listen, it's gonna be awful.
I don't think it's going to work long term. But the way the AAF did it is they tried to treat it like a minor league system and give you some, you know, washed up ex first rounders and then make it look like, you know, that was an important aspect of the game. Look, Johnny Manziel. He changed his name from Johnny to John now. I don't know if you know that. He's serious.
He's growing up.
He's a grown up. Well,
the wife walked out on him.
So he had to shape up, right?
Exactly.
Because she shipped out.
Right.
If they really want to do it, you just can't be like normal football. You have to reimagine it, as they would use the term, or you know, just completely change it.
I don't even know
what it means.
One of the things in the overtime rule that you mentioned, so they plan on having like 44 players on the field at once.
Wait, what?
So one side of the football field will have the offenses and the defense of teams. The other side will have the offense and the defense as well. And it'll be like a shootout, like 4 minutes. And they'll have like five opportunities to get two-point conversions, I believe.
Okay. Wait, so you're going to have 44 people on the field at once? It's like a rumble?
Yeah.
Is there going to be a ladder with money hanging from the rafters where somebody's going to have to grab it?
But here's the thing, it's confusing. So I guess he said that, yeah, there are five opportunities to convert on two-point conversions in the overtime session. The defense can score a point, though, with a turnover. Well, at least they don't have to run it back the other way, because that would get confusing, because there's 22 players out in the field on the other end. Yeah, so they're just going to keep everybody out in the field and say, okay, ready, go.
This is Sparta!
I have one question, because they're wasting their time with all of this foolishness. People aren't going to tune in long enough to be able to understand these idiotic rules. Change the sport. Don't call it football. Call it volley foot or something
like
that.
Well, no,
foot volleyball.
There are some things. So
the biggest problem. Here's the biggest problem.
What is it?
Right? The same problem you had with the AAF. I don't know anybody. The problem I have with the Baltimore Orioles this weekend that I can't get excited about, I don't know them.
I don't know anybody.
They have a G League. They used to call it the D League. Then they call it the G League because I think Gatorade was sponsoring it. And they play pretty good basketball. They play the same rules. Okay? Why does nobody pay attention to them? They have a TV contract. You know why? Because nobody knows who the guys
are. So here's the other thing with the AAF. The guys that were playing in the AAF wanted to get to the NFL. What if the players in the XFL have no desire to ever play in the NFL? Their main goal is maybe their main goal is to stay and become a big player in the XFL. So you do recognize these players. You do associate them with the team because they're not going to go. I'm telling you, it has to be separate from the NFL. They can't be poaching the players. You can't go to Canada. Just like the WWE, you're a wrestler. You're not a football player.
Okay.
So we're gonna grow you. That's what they need to do. The other thing they need to do, script the winners and losers.
I was just going to say this. So
script
this is,
it.
Lou just gave the answer when he talked about the WWE. Okay, here's what you do. You script this. You practice. Both teams practice during the course of the week, like they do in the preseason with NFL teams. You script these out. You have the most unbelievable plays where a guy's doing flips and flops,
fumbles,
and still catching the ball.
Game is close.
And the defensive player's playing right along with it. And then you script the whole thing with winners and losers.
Are you telling me wrestling is fake?
Yes.
So they want some good hits.
Right.
So then they tell like the right guard, listen, let this guy go through on that first down. Second drive of the game, let him go through, and he's going to bury the running back.
Yeah,
right. And the running back's like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that is what you need to do. If you're going to be don't act like these guys aren't NFL players. They're never going to make it in the NFL.
So what do we wish to our
so
time?
You script it. So here's the rule. So you asked about, you started talking about the different rules. So you talked about forward passes. So here's Oliver Luck actually describing, you know, what's possible with the forward pass.
We've got a redefinition of a forward pass. And so a forward pass in our rule book will be a pass that doesn't in terms of the line of scrimmage, right, that doesn't cross the line of scrimmage. So you could have a double forward pass as long as that first pass doesn't cross the line of scrimmage. So imagine a key route, right, a quick, you know, sort of bubble screen type thing. Whether it went forward or backward becomes irrelevant as long as it doesn't cross the line
of
scrimmage.
Okay, stop. Here's the thing.
And ball movement is when you move the ball.
That's actually a good rule because in the NFL, if say you throw a ball, and it tips somebody's hand, and the quarterback catches it. Usually, that person can only run with the ball.
Correct.
Why can't they throw it again?
Now
God,
you throw
this
it.
Is madness.
Why can't you throw it?
You can now in this league.
Now you can't.
I'm with you.
You
should be able to throw
that. The other thing I would let them do, I would let the offensive lineman go downfield on pass plays. Block, box out, set screens. Yeah, I would let them do that
as opposed to an ineligible receiver.
Instead of them saying, because if they do cross the line of scrimmage on a pass, then it's a penalty.
This is nice, but we're not going to get this.
There you go.
Minutes.
See, look,
we're not getting this 10 minute segment back into our lives again. I mean, this is ridiculous. They have no shot of making it. You know what I would do if I'm them? They got all this money. They claim they have all this money. We got a lot more money than the AF.
Yeah, we'll see.
Go pay $20 million. To Colin Kaepernick, 50% of the public will be excited to see him play in that first game. Oh, it only lasts two weeks.
But
50% of the people were hoping that somebody will take him out.
Here's what I'll say. Yes, you got a point, but it's got to be scripted because there's got to be in WWE, they have these, the interviews where the guys go crazy. Do that with Colin Kaepernick. Do that at halftime. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to take the ball. I'm going to throw it downfield, and no one's going to tackle me.
No, you're right.
That's what they need to do.
Air some locker room interviews.
Yes, but you know,
pre-game,
but dramatize
post-game,
it.
Mid-game,
build it up. Make sure somebody has a fit and they're throwing over Gatorade jugs and Under Armour, throwing their clothes, and do that.
They'd be better off
doing it the other way is boring.
But you got to get big name players. You know, maybe Antonio Brown's going to get pissed here in a few months with the Oakland Raiders. Maybe you can get him to come to your league. You got to do something like that. This is a joke. I fell for the XFL the first time around.
You would be a good manager in the WWE.
Hate me. I like that.
No, you would be a good manager. Wouldn't he? Like Mean Gene.
Glenn the Brain.
You know why? Yeah, he'd be good, wouldn't he?
Gene was an announcer.
He'd come out in a little tux.
We made a little touch.
The insidious Mr. Ordway.
This is little touch stuff.
Look at Ordway throwing salt in his eyes.
Ordway's got his leg.
Little tux like a penguin? What are you talking about?
Walking out there in a tux, behind a guy.
Hey, some bad
news.
Bad news for the Walton family.
He would definitely do that.
Luke Walton has officially been fired. Excuse me. Luke Walton and the Lakers mutually agreed to part ways.
He lasted a lot longer.
Adrian Wojnarowski has already got our new coach.
Let me guess. LeBron James is going to be the coach of
Very close.
Tyronn Lue.
Nailed it.
Open mouth, wide guy himself.
Nailed it. We got more coming up next.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
OMF. We return to more of Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
I had more fun on the other side than on this side, because now tomorrow I would have to affect somebody's livelihood in their life. And I thought about that. I said, that's not fun for me. That's not who I am. And then I don't want to put her in the middle of us. You know, even though she said, hey, you do what you want to do, I know she has great love for him and great love for me, you know.
For anybody that's ever just kind of passed it along that he's doing everything for her, for everybody else, and nobody calls him out on it.
He's such a fraud.
I did it for her.
It pains me to say that.
I didn't want to hurt her.
And instead of sitting there saying, you know what?
I didn't
enjoy any of this. This is not what I want to do. I just want to be, I don't want to work 20 hours a day.
It's so funny because he has a long history of quitting.
Yeah.
And nobody ever calls him out on it.
Never.
From being the coach of the Lakers, working at ESPN, you name it. He doesn't want to do it. And so he quits so he doesn't have to fire. One of the reasons why he quit, so he didn't have to personally fire Luke Walton.
I don't buy that.
He didn't want to have
to. You really believe that?
I think it's definitely. I don't think you want to walk into Luke Walton's office and say you're fired. Yeah, tomorrow. I think he's a coward.
I don't.
Yeah, I think he does.
Honestly,
I don't think that?
That's something to do with it too. Because I don't think Magic wants right now. He doesn't want to do anything he's not comfortable with.
But that's it. He doesn't want to work.
He doesn't want to work. He doesn't want to
piss anybody
make decisions.
Hurt anybody's feelings.
He doesn't want to fire anybody.
That's
he doesn't want to let anybody go. Like, he's like, you know, I'm not comfortable with it. And if that's the case, I'm just going to walk away from it then.
Ryan, play the cut again where he says he doesn't want to hurt anybody's life or ruin anybody's life.
I had more fun on the other side than on this side because now, tomorrow, I would have to affect somebody's life.
That's it. Stop. That's it.
I agree.
Whose livelihood is he talking about?
He just doesn't want to work.
Luke Walton's.
He doesn't want to do anything.
Come on. Listen, I can't believe I'm ragging on Magic Johnson and you're defending him right now. What's wrong with you?
No, I'm not defending him. I'm sitting here telling you that he did not want to work.
Okay, so
you know what that job is? Those jobs now in the NBA are really labor intensive. They really are. Danny Ainge works an awful lot of hours.
What have they not been labor intensive?
They weren't as much years ago.
Trust the scouts.
No, I think the game is much different. The analytics, analytics in the game have overtaken the game right now to the point where there are teams that are basically run off of their analytics and not necessarily the mind of the coach.
See, technically, you're right. So he didn't want to work, and part of working and doing that job is firing people.
Correct. I'll give you that.
The same thing.
But it's not that he didn't want to hurt Luke Walton's feelings or anything.
That's part of the uncomfortable part of the job.
That's part of his job, which he doesn't. You know, the part of the job that Magic Johnson enjoyed was just being Magic in the face of the Lakers.
Okay.
Well, now you got to do something.
Okay, the emeritus, president emeritus.
He didn't want to do that.
Show up for the functions.
I'm just saying, like, if you're the president, it's, you got to make calls. You got to fire a manager once in a while. You got to let a free agent walk. You got to let him leave. I don't want to tell this kid after how hard he worked for me all year long. He's a good kid. I like him.
I
don't want to tell him. I got to know his mom. I don't want to tell him that we're not bringing him back and we're going to cut him.
Yeah. You're right, though, Lou.
I don't want to do that.
I want to know the tweet, Russell Westbrook. I just want to be Magic Johnson.
But the whole tampering thing was the dumbest thing in the world. He actually thought that you could go and help tutor and coach a player from another team when you're the president of one team?
Now he can.
He wanted to do what he wants to do. He didn't understand it. It's almost like, what was wrong with
that? But I'm Magic.
What was wrong with that?
Look at my smile.
That's ridiculous.
Go to school to learn the new CBA.
LeBron's guy, by the way, Brian Windhorst, is on a book tour right now. He's going across the country. He's doing interviews everywhere.
I love LeBron.
Yeah, exactly.
My buddy and me, pretty much.
Yeah,
we
LeBron
like to climb up a tree.
And he's admitting right now that the Lakers front office is a disaster.
This can't just be another line in the history books.
Really?
It's a disaster.
You know what? You know the newest rumored president/GM is going to be?
Who would that be?
Kobe Bryant.
The Lakers. Oh, no.
So they're going
to
bring
another huge mistake. Do you think Kobe wants to put the hours in doing this?
Well, who do you think would have who would do it over the other? You think I would bet on Kobe doing it more than I would Magic? Kobe is psychotic.
Working at it?
His work ethic? Yes. Those two are so different, Glenn. You know they are.
But I'll say this.
One guy's okay. One guy has had a bullseye and has been criticized a big chunk of his career ever since he got into the league. The other guy's been beloved.
See, the problem I think you have right now, when you're putting star players in there, especially star players who are worth a fortune, and Magic is worth a fortune from the money he made in the game, but even more so in the money he made outside the game with Sony Theaters and Starbucks and all of these other companies he was involved in franchises. So those are the worst guys to put in that position because they don't necessarily need it.
Pat Riley, Jerry West, it can be done.
Yeah, but Riley was years ago. He's been part of this years ago. He never made money as a player. So he's done it for years, and he's got other people that work for him. But I'm talking about the star players right now. You can't have a star player coming out of the game.
No, but I was doing that. I would say that at least as far as Kobe's personality, I could see him just taking this job a lot more serious than Magic did.
How much do you think Michael Jordan works at it in Charlotte?
You tell me, you know him personally.
You guys are good friends.
Talked to him in years, huh?
You guys are good friends, aren't you?
No, we're not good friends.
See, I think that I'm with you, though, because Kobe being a little bit younger, it just seems like Magic's at the point in his career where he just wants people to fall to his feet because he's Magic Johnson.
Just love
him. I get it. It's a
just
celebrity.
Love me.
He wants to be the celebrity.
Yeah. And
he
Kobe's wants to a work celebrity, but I could see him working.
Mm.
I definitely think he has it in him.
What's like Jeter? I ask you, what is he doing?
I don't know.
Like, what is he doing?
You tell me, how many hours does he put in?
That's what I mean.
Because like, it really is labor intensive. When you, these jobs right now, and you've got to have a staff, and so much of it is technical, analytical stuff. And a lot of these players look at it, especially great players, and sit there, just go play.
Yeah.
Now, why can't you just go do it? Well, they don't have the talent that you had, Kobe.
Right.
Magic, these players don't have
I can just see the advice right now. Hey, Kobe, what should I do? I got this shot. You know, I just throw it down the poop chute.
Huh? What is it? No, whatever you do, don't.
Oh, yes, Kobe. Yeah, yes. From Kobe, he probably shouldn't be saying that.
All right, so we said this.
Then you bail and whale.
We said this earlier, talking about the Bruins, that it means nothing in the NHL if you lose the first game of a series at home. And there's some history here that the numbers are almost around 500, maybe slightly less than 500. I think I read it today at like 46% or something like that. If you lose the first game at home, you still end up winning the series. That's a pretty high number. You don't see numbers like that in the NBA. You've got to win both of those first two games that you're playing. If you split them, guess what? You just open yourself up to a long series. And to me, that's what the Celtics have to look at, because I don't think the other teams are going to have long series. Does anybody think Milwaukee and Detroit is going to be a long series?
What about Brooklyn-Philly now?
Joel Embiid just changed. Right.
Might not. He has no clue whether he's going to be able to play.
He's got pain in his left knee now.
Crap.
So, and Brooklyn is what I'd call an overachieving team. Yeah, they play their ass off, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But the Celtics should beat Indiana, but you don't want to play a long series and have Milwaukee play a very short series and then maybe play that game seven, and then the next day you're flying and you've got a game, 2 days after that, and Milwaukee's been sitting there around for 5 or 6 days.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a short series. I say sweep.
No.
There's no. Okay. I just don't see that.
That's okay, so what, good team.
I don't think this team's good enough to
sweep. So five?
Seven.
No way, it's not going seven.
Seven.
They were 3-1 during the regular season. Even if this whole crazy little, we lost Oladipo and we're still a good team. No, they're not a good team.
No, they're not a good
team. They're going to sweep them.
They don't trust the Celtics.
Then they're going to get bounced out of the second round. That's the way it's going to play out.
I think I would have said five with Marcus Smart. I think more it's going to be a longer series than that with no Marcus Smart. I think it's a factor.
You know basketball.
Terry Rozier is like, he's ready for the challenge.
Did you hear Danny's line yesterday with him?
Keep him happy.
Maybe now he'll have some fun.
Yeah, maybe not.
So what happened when Marcus Smart comes back?
Little
if they're still in the
playoffs.
He'd
be all pissed off, just like he was this
year. We're trying to say I'm not any fun.
This is Ainge. Listen to this, talking about Rozier.
I feel really bad for Marcus. Just, I know how well he's playing right now. I know how hard he's worked to get ready for this moment. But injuries are just part of it, part of what we all have to deal with, and it's an opportunity for someone else. Hopefully we can keep playing so Marcus gets a crack at the playoffs this year. He's in okay spirits. I mean, he was bummed. He was in pain. I mean, the worst type of injuries sometimes are those that you think you can play with that you don't get to be yourself. So this is, thank goodness we have other guys that can step up and take Marcus's spot. Now, no one completely replaces Marcus, but it's an opportunity for other guys to play.
What does
maybe Terry will have some fun now.
That's a dig.
That's a little laugh.
That is a dig, man.
He's got some Sean McDonough.
Yeah, he does.
Maybe I'll have one now.
So can we bring our Scary Terry t-shirts out again? Bring Drew Bledsoe. Yeah. Fly him in with some wine.
Can we get some Scary Terry wine?
Please. That's ridiculous.
But I don't want it to be a long series, Christian, because I think it will affect them in the next series against Milwaukee. Because I look at the East, and I think, and Lou brought up a good point, and that is the injury not Embiid. Does that hamper them at all? Because they're getting a team, Brooklyn Nets, that play their ass off every night. So they might have a long series. But I think Milwaukee's going to fly. I think Toronto over Orlando. But it's not. I look at the West. The West is a lot different. So Golden State gets the Clippers out of the gate in the first round. And Golden State, you know, will win that series. But, you know, that can you normally look at Golden State and say they should win it in four. Maybe they extend it to five. You've got Denver against San Antonio, Portland against Oklahoma City. I could see Oklahoma City in an upset, right?
That's a good one.
And Houston and Utah.
That could be a good one, too.
Yeah. So the West is a lot better than the East.
Yeah.
A little bit
deeper.
Pat Boylan, are we underestimating the Pacers?
Race for the Pacers.
This should not be overlooked. Victor Oladipo played in 36 games, just 44% of the Pacers' season. And yet Indiana matches last year's 48-34 record. It's the 10th best record in NBA franchise history. No small feat whatsoever. Okay. But it's still no Victor Oladipo. The reason I think it's a problem for Boston with no Marcus Smart is Bogdanovich has got to do all of the scoring right now. You need him to go out. He's averaged 18 points a game against the Celtics. He only averages 13. Why? Because Marcus picks up on him for a good deal of the game. And now you got no Marcus, and Bogdanovich needs more than 18 points a night. They're going to suddenly, with no Victor Oladipo, they need him to have some big scoring nights against the Celtics, and he has over the last couple of weeks at the end of the season.
So, have they said who's starting in his spot? Is they Jalen not, or Gordon?
They're going to wait until
I
the game time.
I go with Jalen. I know you said Gordon the other day, but
I would like to see Gordon only because I think that you get back to, you put your best scorer. He should be the second best scorer in the series.
Who is, but you need, I think it was the reasoning was because Jalen comfortable coming off the bench.
Yes.
Looks to me like Gordon Hayward is a lot more. Like he's figured it out. Now, you can make the argument that he should be in the starting lineup, and I'm all for it. But at least I feel like he's playing well off the bench. I think Jalen Brown needs a little boost.
So
that might help him.
I like Gordon Hayward because I just think you put the unit together because you're going to rest them a lot at the same time that I think you, and that was the unit that we expected was going to be the starting unit when you first started. And again, I don't care about the starting lineup. The reason I think he's going to put Jalen Brown is because I think he's going to look at the loss of Marcus Smart, and I need to put somebody on their scores early on. I think he's going to go with Jalen Brown in the starting lineup.
I thought you said Hayward yesterday.
No, I would put Hayward in there. Oh. I said. Oh, yeah. I think Stevens is going to end up putting Jalen Brown only for defense. He's going to look at the one thing in the series that has suddenly changed right now is defensively, we may have trouble stopping their big score. That's the one thing that's changed here. They're 3-1. You brought it up. They're 3-1. They've had good success against this team.
And I think this stat is kind of deceiving that he brings up, that they're 48-34, 10th best record. You can look at this. Just look at, you know, since Oladipo got hurt, they're a 500 team. And you look at some of the teams that they beat. I mean, they only beat maybe four or five teams with a winning record since he's been gone. So, I mean, I guess you can drop any stat if you want to make yourself feel better about your situation. I get it. But I go on based on what I see and what Scal told us last week. Has anybody seen them play? Is anyone recognizing what they look like?
We remember thinking that they weren't going anywhere because we did look at their schedule. And they play hard. And there's a lot of bad teams, and they seem to play an awful lot of them. You know, during that stretch, remember, like, right after they lost Oladipo, they couldn't lose?
Yeah.
For, like, seven or eight games or so.
And, yeah, but teams do that.
Right, but even after that, the next two or three weeks when you looked at it, now it got a little tougher down the stretch, and they lost it a little bit. But they stayed where they were because they play hard, and the competition wasn't great over a course of a month or so when they lost Oladipo.
And Collison had a groin issue? I think he had a groin issue, and that messed him up at the end. But you're right. I mean, I think you can do it for a while without Oladipo because everybody raises their game to the next level. And Sabonis was playing great, right. But eventually, it catches up to you, and what caught up to him is their offense because they still go out there and play hard. They play great defense. They really are a good defensive team. They make you work for everything. But they got nobody that can score right now. Even that last game with the Celtics, how many easy shots did they end up missing in that game that if they made, they got a chance to win that game?
Mm-hmm.
And instead, the Celtics beat them by, what, 20? Something like
mm-hmm.
that?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And Indiana should have been in that game at the end, but they couldn't, you know, make a shot out there. But you win the first two at home, you go and take one of the two out in Indiana, and you come back here and wrap it up in five. But you don't see it that way.
No.
That's what you do.
No, I'm just saying, like, it could be 3-1, come back here in game five, wrap it up, right? Indiana wins by 10. And you're like, huh, okay. Then they go back and they win game six. And you're going, you know what? Why am I surprised? Why am I shocked at this team? No, I think it goes seven because of them. And I know you say it's more because of Indiana. I say it's more because of the Celtics. I don't trust them one bit. They'll make this a lot more interesting than they should.
Yeah. I'm not buying it. I'm with him with Indiana. I just don't see. Indiana worked and played as well as they could. They played their ass off.
That first round sometimes, especially with this organization, that first round is difficult.
Well, you saw it last year.
Well, you saw it. You saw it with the second big three,
yeah.
You know, when they won the title.
Yeah.
You know, that won seven games against Atlanta, I believe. So, I mean, it's just, you know, Milwaukee last year, and I know they had the Greek Freak, and he took over some games, even though, you know, some people would like to believe that Al Horford makes him look human. But I just feel like the first round can get a little sticky at times. And I could see it going seven. I think it will.
Well, if it goes seven, then it will really affect them in the next series. The next series will be a killer.
I don't think it's going to matter anyway.
I don't think it's going to matter. They could sweep them. They're in trouble. They're going to be in trouble no matter what. Now, the Celtics apparently lost a coin toss now that with the Oklahoma City Thunder, so they have the 22nd pick. Their own pick is 22nd, not 21.
Yeah, do you think there's a real difference there? I'm not worried about the 22nd or 21st pick. All right, coming up in the next hour of this very program, if you'd like to go to the Celtics, playoff game number one against the Pacers on Sunday afternoon. They're playing at 1 p.m. in the afternoon. Big deal, 1 p.m. We're going to give away a pair of tickets coming up in the last hour of OMF. Matter of fact, on top of that, we're going to give you about 30 minutes of nonstop commercial-free sports talk radio. We will do it coming up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.